Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. It's not often that you get to sit with one of the biggest names in the country. And I'm super, super excited. It actually feels like I've been chilling with a friend. We've been chatting the whole time. But he is a multi-award winning international artist, Mr. Falab, SA's Hip Hop Artist of the Decade, a son, a brother, and most recently, a father. And I am sitting with none other than Casper, Mr. Casper Nyovest.
Yo, such a dope intro.
Is it dope?
Yeah. I liked it when you said a son. I was like, yeah, that's the part I like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the human side of it, you know, not like these achievements.
Because you've got a lot of the achievements. Because I was like, okay, what do I mention? What do I mention?
Yeah.
But I think you come across as a very like personal, emotional person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I relate. I've always been emotional and personal and family orientated.
I know.
But now I think it's
hitting home.
Yeah. Like growing up and when you start realizing what's more important and what life is about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that part of, well, not just like it, but I value it more now than I used to.
I like that. I've got icebreakers.
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast today?
Nothing.
Oh, shucks. I should have changed that one. I prepared earlier. So, okay. Now, what did you have? What was the last breakfast you had?
Oats. I like having oats.
Really?
Yeah.
With what?
It's always my go-to. Oats with yogurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my thing. With peanut butter or you hate peanut butter?
Yeah.
Or almond butter? No. What? No, you don't like it?
No. Fruits, strawberries, keep it fresh. Peanut butter feels so thick for the morning.
Like, I am thick.
Okay. We'll leave it there. If you were not famous, what would you be doing this Saturday?
Oh, man. Wow. What would I be doing?
If you knew that no one
I don't know, because my whole perspective always comes from this position God has put me in.
Yeah.
So it's like I need to use my influence.
Yeah. But something fun, like something you wish you could just do and you know you won't have to smile for a picture or think who's going to be there.
You know, I still do stuff like that.
Is it?
Just, sometimes people might think I'm rude, but like when I'm out on my like normal human thing, I don't like taking pictures.
I get that.
I like things like going to bounce.
Okay. So you'd
just
be
jumping
bounce.
Around, on a trampoline or like going go-karting, stuff like that. I like doing stuff like that. That kids
do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think men don't grow up.
No, they don't. There was actually a TikTok. Yeah. I'm not sure how true it is, that says that as a man, when you play with your kids, there's a hormone, there's a good hormone that's released that women don't get from playing with kids. Women only get it when their kids come for emotional support. So for me, it was such a relief because Brendan loves playing with the kids. Like you can see, like he could go on forever. And I don't find that much joy in playing the whole day. So I think it's scientific.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense. Okay, last icebreaker before you go in.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you notice in people?
Their looks.
Okay, which looks?
I mean, that's very shallow, but
it's the
truth.
Had
to just give you an honest answer.
I look at nails.
Yeah, you look at nails. Mine are not that bad.
No, they're not, but they're good. But I can see that you had them done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like your cuticles are in place.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to be this clean guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's up, dog?
Yeah. And men, what do you notice? Looks as well?
Yeah. I like good looking people.
Okay.
Even men, I can appreciate a good looking man. I know a lot of guys are not comfortable with appreciating men. I think it's weird, but I'm very comfortable in my skin.
Okay.
So like I see guys and I'm like, yo, he's such a good looking man.
Yeah,
I don't want my girl to see that guy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Let's get into our conversation. Who was the first person who believed in you? And I'm asking this because I think for your age, for our age, to have become the person you've become, I know someone must have said, I see something in this person.
You know, I'll say Jesus Christ, but in human form, I always think it's one, and I'm going now deeper. I think the first person to say, yo, this kid's special was my grade two teacher, Mrs. Dolly Langa.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Dolly Langa. I don't think she ever got married. Miss Dolly Langa.
Yeah.
In grade two, she told my mom, yo, this guy is wasting his time in school. Yeah, it was weird because it's like second grade, right?
Yeah, just like, what she's like, do you
yo,
mean?
Man, this dude, like, he needs to be on stage. He's wasting his time. And trust me, you're wasting your time with this kid. This kid is a performer. He's an entertainer.
Yeah.
And I was just grade two. And then I think I was 16 when I dropped out.
Yeah.
And things started going well for me. And I was starting to get on TV, I think when I was 18 or something. Yeah, through WHP.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I met Miss Dolina. Remember the last time I saw her, I was like in school, primary school.
Yeah, like
and then I was
eight,
walking
nine.
With my mom, and I was like 18.
Yeah.
And she walked up to us and said, I told you.
That is wild.
Right?
Yeah. Were you there when she said, there's something special?
Yeah, I remember. I have a great memory. So I remember like her saying this. And I remember because I didn't like school.
Oh,
so I was just like, yo, mom, you told me you're wasting my time. I'm trying to. So I remember. So when Pick and Pay at some point, and she walked up to my mom and said, I told you this kid was special and he was supposed to be on stage. So I think that's my earliest memory of someone who believed in me as an entertainer.
That was actually going to be my follow up question is that growing up, did you feel like I'm a special child? Mm-hmm. And I only started asking this question because I've always believed in myself, right? Like I've never doubted myself, but I didn't think other people don't think like that.
Yeah.
Until my husband pointed it out and he said, but you're a special person. I'm like, no, we all think we're gonna make it.
Yeah.
But now I'm realizing that not all of us have that mindset. It's not necessary so that others aren't special, but did you ever think I'm different? I'm
you know
special.
What's weird? I believed in myself more when I was younger.
Sure.
Yeah, like when I was younger, I really didn't think there was failure.
Yeah.
Like I never understood why my parents used to tell me about a plan B. What if I'm like, what do you mean? What if it doesn't work? It's gonna work.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, cause like. Earlier, I thought I was going to be a soccer player, a scientist, and a musician at the same time.
All of it. Okay. Yeah.
And I used to and I used to tell my dad, that's what I'm going to be. And my mom used to be like, you could be whatever you want to be.
Sure.
Which is dope because she made me believe.
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out, so okay, in the morning, I'd go train, be a soccer player. And then after that, I go record. And then after that, I just go to the lab. You know, that's how my mind worked.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing, man, this school thing is not the one. These teachers always want to talk.
Did you struggle with school?
I didn't. I was very smart, but I hated it.
Oh. So the science part?
I dropped it because I could see this school thing is not going to work for me.
I have it.
And then the sports thing and then the music thing stayed.
Oh, yeah.
And then the sports thing, I remember I went to my last trials. I was 14. I was 13, I think, under 14. And then I had such an amazing trial and all the players were like, yo, man, you've improved so much.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to make it this year. And they never picked me. And then I just, the dream died. You know, it's like corruption. You know, because South Africa, there's a lot of corruption. So that died.
Yeah.
And then I stayed with the music, and which is beautiful because there's no structure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really just you. If you can get to people and people can love you. And that's how I dropped out of school. Then my parents didn't understand why I was trying to drop out of school, but I felt like I was late.
Sure.
I felt
with the music thing.
I felt like I needed to catch up because, you know, my idol was Michael Jackson and he started at 5 years old. So
okay. So you felt already that you're behind.
I was 10 years late.
One of my favorite stories to tell is when I was young in primary, I wanted to be a fashion designer, but now that you mentioned, I thought like you. Like at some point, I wanted to be a dermatologist and a fashion designer.
I also wanted to be a gynecologist.
I wanted to be a dermatologist, with skin. You wanted to work with something else. I wanted to be a dermatologist because I liked that I could pronounce it well for my age.
Oh, yeah.
So I just like saying dermatologist. And then I wanted to be a fashion designer, and my dad went and bought me like this book, and I started designing. And then he went and had that dress made.
Wow, that's so dope.
Yeah, he took me with to the material shop. I picked out the material, and he took me with to Umathungane, really. Umathungane. And we went and had the dress made, and I wore it to church. And afterwards, I was done being a designer. But that moment for me, solidified that anything I do is going to work out.
And it can come to
fruition. Yeah. Which moment was that for you?
Wow. That's a dope question. This is 10 years later. I've never been asked that question like that. You're very good.
Thank you.
Jeez. Which moment was it? I don't know.
Sure.
I can think of so many moments that made me, that motivated me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll tell a little story maybe.
Yeah.
This might be good. I remember there was a time we were all recording, like we were all rappers, all my friends, but I was the one who wanted to perform, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't really want to perform. And I had this show, the V show at my school. And I was performing a song called Happy. It was a whack song, I think. But like when I got on stage, I did something. I don't remember what I did, but the crowd started going crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And I started dancing. Yeah. And I'm supposed to be rapping, but I always believe like you can dance and rap. Yeah. And then I killed the show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all my friends was like, yo, man, you know, you dope. You know that song, you gotta send us that song. And when I sent the song, they were like, no, but this song doesn't sound like the one you performed. And then I was like, okay, I think I might have a gift on stage.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Because
my friends didn't like the song when I sent them the song.
Sure.
But they liked it when I was performing the song.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy called Tolamo, which I wanted to mention, but he came after this teacher that I'm telling you about.
Yeah.
Tolamo Khobokwe. They had this thing called Expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Which was every month they would take kids, put them on stage, and they would perform every month and have a crowd. And that's how we kind of build our fan base.
Yeah. And this is back home.
Yeah, this is back home. And they had these auditions. I think I was 14 or something at that time. They had these auditions, and he was like, man, you've got something. Like, I really feel like you could be a performer. He started telling me about Michael Jackson as well, which I always liked.
Mm.
And he was like, you could be the next Michael Jackson. I'm like, me, Michael Jackson, bro, I'm a rapper. I don't know. He's like, yeah, just believe in yourself. And he kind of just gave me this confidence and this structure of like what an artist is, what they do, and how they improve.
Yeah.
And that's just how my career started.
Sure.
So it's that moment when I realized I might have something special, and this moment with Tolamo. And that's how it kind of started for me, that I wanted to be a performer.
You actually confirmed something that I think I knew, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
When you were performing at Global Citizen, I was basically in labor. I was on my way to, I will never forget the day. We were on our way to Brendan was performing somewhere, and I wasn't due until 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know. And then you went on stage, and I was in the car watching from my laptop on my way to Bud Plus, and there was bad network. And I remember looking at you. I don't know how to describe it, but it was as if no one else mattered, and you were, this is what you've always meant to do. And it wasn't about the songs, because I don't remember the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember the emotion and the feeling. And so when you're telling me about how when you got on stage, everybody lost their minds, I see that from the performance I watched on the laptop, because I was just like, I don't know the songs,
because
I don't listen to hip hop.
Yeah.
But the energy this person, like, this is what they're meant to be doing.
Thank you. You
this
know what?
Gift.
Thank you so much. You know, my manager always says, he says, I feel so sad. He says, I feel for you, because you'll never feel what we feel when you're on stage.
Oh,
TD always says that to me. He's like, you know, every time I see you perform at Fill Up, I'm always like, I feel for this guy, because he'll never understand what happens when he's on that stage. And it makes me feel jealous, but it's like,
but you know, at least, get to be in it.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing, the more you grow, the more selfless you become.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I wish I could feel it, but I don't wish it, because sometimes when you wish, God wants you to feel it. So it's not like that, God, I don't want anything to change. But it's like, it's so amazing to know that there's, you know, something that God does with me.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's that important.
Yeah.
but it's like the importance of it. I'm not obsessed with being important anymore, you know?
Sure.
It's like, but just to know that God uses me is a great thing.
Yeah.
So the Global Citizen Night is so special. Do you know there's not a day that goes by without anybody mentioning Global Citizen since that night?
That makes sense.
It's been like 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
I'm telling you, every single day
you hear about global.
Someone will say something about Global
Citizen. But do you understand that there was Beyonce and Jay-Z? But I remember your performance.
Exactly.
And it's got nothing to do with them. But I think it's speaking to the gift that you have. And I think that night you embodied everything you were meant to be.
It's God, man.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, it's so amazing that people were speaking about this night. And I was going through a lot.
I can imagine what was happening in your mind.
The night before, I was in Durban.
Yeah.
I was doing fill-up in Durban the night before. And we lost 7 million rand the night before. Actually, the morning
That's
before.
That's why you were performing like that.
I was performing. The rent was due. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then the next morning.
7 million rand.
7
the
million.
Night before.
Yeah. So the morning before is when we got confirmation that, you know, the government was pulling out. You know, the politics in Durban.
Yeah.
And we went. So we had to make a choice whether we were taking on the debt or canceling the show. And we took on the debt. We're like, yo, people drove here, people flew here. We got to do what we got to do.
Yeah.
It was the first time I saw my manager cry. He's a grown man. And he cried.
I want to cry.
You know? And I was like, okay, it's time for me to do my own thing.
Sure.
I had to carry the team. And so the next day is God restoring me. You know what I mean? So get on the plane. We didn't sleep. Get on a plane. We had like a little private plane. Go to Joburg. Just weird things happened that day. It was just such a godly presence.
Yeah.
My friend gets lost outside. His name is Potlako. He can't get in. He says to the security, I'm here with Casper. Imagine how many people can say,
I'm here with Casper. Dude, get at the back of the line, please.
And they say, okay, cool. They take him from outside the stadium on a go-kart and drop him off in my change room. And I'm like, how did you get here? He's like, dog, he's from Mufftown. He got to the stadium and he told that guy, I'm here with Casper.
From Geniza.
And they believed him.
Wow.
I get on stage and we're doing the rehearsals and they say, are you performing right before Beyonce? And I'm like, what?
Geniza.
I'm like, Chili, you guys are messing around. They're like, no, Silas, you're really performing before Beyonce. I'm like, oh, maybe it's before Beyonce, but maybe there's like an Ed Sheeran. And maybe I'm the last local act.
Yeah, like kuna something.
They give us the running order. I'm like, wait, I'm really. So now I start getting nervous because I'm like, yo, this is Beyonce.
Yeah.
Like, as much as this is cool,
yeah.
When Beyonce gets on that stage, it's going to be clear that everyone was playing games.
Yeah.
So like, I'm nervous. And then I meet Oprah. I'm like, you know what? If anything, I'm just glad I got to take a picture with Oprah and I'm going to show it to my mom.
Yeah, if anything, else
when I was telling my mom about Kendrick Lamar, she didn't understand. So now she'll understand, like, mom, I'm a big deal.
Yeah,
like,
you know, Oprah.
I met Oprah. So, the day goes by and I'm just nervous. I'm nervous. And then I start realizing that everybody is performing with, like, a limited volume and it's like screens that are not on. I'm like, okay, is that American thing?
Yeah, it's those politics we know.
So, you know, everyone has 25 minutes, I think. So I'm worried. I'm like, yo, are they going to hear me? And then Ed Sheeran goes on. Yo, with that guitar, the stadium is roaring. Everyone is singing that other song. What's that? 16.
Which one's 16?
Is it 16? Yeah, when your feet don't dance anymore.
What everybody say?
I'm like, what am I gonna do after this? Yeah, I love that. Sure. I'm like, what am I gonna do? I'm like, yo, Joe. Anyway, let's just go.
Yeah.
And we had a prayer, and I have in ears on. So believe it or not, I couldn't hear the crowd throughout
no
the
ways.
Show. For real.
No.
So
ways.
Like that thing that people were feeling and seeing.
So you're not feeding off the crowd.
I'm just performing and I just remember just thinking, I hope I'm doing well. I hope I'm doing well. This is so beautiful, but I hope I'm doing well.
Sure.
And then Chris Martin really came on stage. He wanted to perform out Palume with me, which he promised me when he met me.
Yeah.
But I thought he was fooling around.
It, yeah.
Backstory, Global Citizen was moved a day for me.
No.
For real. So the reason why they moved it to the Saturday was because, or was it the Sunday? Because I was
No, it was the Sunday. It was the Sunday. Yeah.
Because I was doing fill up in Durban. So Chris Martin was like, yo, if you promise me you'll do the show, we'll move it a day. I'm like, for me? It's like, yeah. So I was like, and he's like, you know, and on top of that, I'll perform with you.
Tell me something. In those moments, do you ever feel like when events are moved, when you get on stage before Beyonce, when these big moments are happening, do you still feel like, me? Is it supposed to be happening to me?
I used to.
Now you're at a point where, if not me, then who?
Yeah, I used to feel like that. I used to have like a whole... Why me? Why is this? Is it really going to happen? In fact, for me, it was like, is it really going to happen like that? But now, because I'm working with God, I'm like, of course. Like,
why were you asking, is it really going to happen? Does that come from a place of disappointment?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. I never thought I was good enough.
Sure.
My drive, people feel like I was always confident and I believed in myself.
Yeah.
But I think my drive came from not believing in myself.
Ah.
You know, I always thought I was not good enough. I always thought... I was lucky. Yeah. I always worked harder than everyone
else. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. You're probably the hardest working in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Furtick said he's a very disciplined man, and he says his disciplines are based on his weaknesses.
Wow.
So because he knows, like you said, because you thought I suck.
Yeah.
I'm the least talented in the room, or I'm not good enough.
Least deserving.
I know I will work times 10 to just keep up.
That's me. And I noticed it later in my life that, actually I was pushing that hard as a young man because I didn't believe I was good enough. Now I'm chill. Now I'm just like, hey, come on, man. Yeah. If you don't see it, it's cool. Don't worry. It's not the same, but it's okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's beautiful to be operating from that because now my confidence comes from the fact that I know that it's God engineering.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah.
So even if it doesn't happen, it's not because I'm not good enough. It's because it wasn't supposed to happen.
It wasn't supposed to happen.
You know what I mean? That's not God's plan.
Yeah.
But God's plan is always greater.
It always happens.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like now I'm starting to learn to enjoy things, you know, for what they are.
For what they are.
Instead of
trying.
Glorifying, you know, over glorifying things and over celebrating and over compensating. It's always just like, that's what's supposed to happen. This is God, we're talking about. So
tell me about the day you left school.
Yo, I was in the class. It was, I think, the last day of the term.
Yeah.
And then my teacher, my lecturer, because I was in college, I dropped out of school and went to college, like an FET college.
Okay.
And then she was there and I wasn't listening. I was writing songs and I felt like the front of the classroom was a stage. I was like, I'm supposed to be up there. You out here telling us all these things.
Sure.
Give me my 20 minutes. That's how I always felt.
Yeah.
And then I turned to one of my friends, Tabang, and I said to him, yo, man, I think I'm gonna drop out of school. And he was like, I was like, no, I'm serious. I think this is my last day, man. I don't think I'm ever gonna come back here.
Sure.
And he was like, yeah, I know, cool. I was always that guy. And then this day comes and I was like, I'm out. And then I'm driving with my mom. We're driving to Mafikeng. And she shouting at me about school. And I was like, yeah, you know, actually about school, I was thinking of quitting. And she was like, it's your life. Do whatever you want. And I was like, yeah, I'm quitting.
Doing that.
She's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, she thinks I'm joking, but I'm done. And that's how I quit school.
And what did you do the next day?
I started chasing a dream. I used to go on Facebook every day. I think about 3 years.
Yeah.
And just put up a status that says, remember Facebook status were 24 hours?
No, I don't remember. But yes.
Okay.
No, I remember.
For those who do remember.
For those who remember.
Facebook statuses were 24 hours and then it'd be removed. So every 24 hours I would write, because it used to be your name is.
Yes.
So it used to be like Mpumi is. And
oh,
you'd say what you're doing.
What you're thinking. Yeah. Yes.
So it used to write, Refilio Pulo is chasing the dream for like 3 years. every day I would write, "Is Chasing the Dream." Refugio Polo, and then Casper Nyovest is Chasing the Dream. Casper Nyovest is currently in Johannesburg, while we're Chasing the Dream.
Yeah.
Like 3-4 years.
That's all you're doing.
Just doing. That's how I started developing a fan base. Everybody's like, "Yo, man,
this guy is chasing the dream.
This guy's still, you see, he's still chasing the dream."
Wow.
I don't know when I stopped.
I was going to ask something you, I don't know.
I don't remember the day I stopped writing Chasing the Dream.
No, wait, I want to know the feeling when it hit you that you're not coming back here. What was happening inside you? Did you feel a sense of peace, or did you feel a sense of relief, or did you feel nervous, scared?
I think relief. Yeah.
You know what I'm asking? Because my dropout happened the exact same way as yours.
For real?
Yeah. So I dropped out of varsity.
Yeah.
And I have a bursary now.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
I've got a bursary. I had a job. My career is set. Like, it's set. It's looking beautiful. I see how it's going to work. But I also kept mentioning it to my friend. Gucci friend, like, I get it, but I think I'm not happy here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked up. It was exams. And I went and I sat. And you know when you describe that, you're sitting there and you're looking at the teacher and you think it should be. And I'm sitting there and you're writing songs. I'm sitting there thinking of how God is supposed to be using me. Mm. And like my mind is not coming. And I'm a diligent student, but I don't see what's happening. The paper went blank.
Mm.
And then I'm like, I think I'm done.
Mm.
And then I picked up my hand and then I left the exam room and I called my mom and I said, "I'm done." And my grand said, "No, my brain is tired. I must just have some omega-3. But that was it.
Who said that?
My grandmother on the phone.
Your grandmother knows about omega-3?
Yeah. No, my grandmother's very like...
That's hard.
It's a different that's kind hard. Of
go-go. Our grandmothers would have probably said, "What? Say no way." I was like, "No, omega-3. Omega-3.
No, my grandmother.
Why no what? Say no. No, no, no. She's bewitched.
But that happened. When I got home, there was the conversation then. But like first it was, you need to eat some fish because your brain is tired. You don't want to quit
I just
school.
Learned about omega-3 now. Nah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
None of that. That's crazy. Your grandmom is learned.
She's amazing. She's smart.
Was she a nurse?
No, she was supposed to be a nurse, but she was a principal.
But she was supposed to be a nurse.
Yeah, I think she wanted to be a nurse. And then she was
the
smart ones. Yeah, no, but she was a very smart principal. Tell me about those days. Actually, did your big break feel like, this is the day of my big break?
It was 8 years of nothing.
What's nothing?
Just nothing, man. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Confusion. Knowing that I'm the one.
Yeah.
But nobody sees it.
Okay.
For 8 years, it was there. And I used to be like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I'm the one.
Yeah.
I always felt like I was like Neo in the Matrix. I'm like, I'm the chosen one. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I play my music, but people don't hear
they don't
it.
Get
and
it.
I'm like... Joe, trust
did you get
me, I'm
those petty like listeners? You know when people listen because bandla.
Yeah, because I'm a nice person. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wanna go to, you know, you're gonna be a star. And it was like 8 years of that, you know, losing record deals, signing record deals, nothing happens. I was at a stable called Impact Sounds. I did something wrong. I got chased out the label. You know, and then I tried to sign to Sony and then I did something wrong. I got chased again. WHP risked and took me under his wing with like strict rules. Say, you know what? First of all, you're a dropout. So number one, parents are going to come at me to say, this kid didn't finish school because of me. So you need to handle that. I need to call your mom. You know,
we're going
to
do it properly.
It was wild. And yo, my big break,
okay.
That's why I forgot.
Give it to me.
My mom actually reminded me last week that I was at home praying. I had a liver problem because I was drinking a lot.
Sure.
And I had a liver problem and the doctors were telling me they couldn't do anything about my liver. It had to like heal itself. And I prayed on it and then it went away. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So in this period when
I continue drinking?
Yeah. In this, I sell alcohol. In this period of the healing, I'm home, and I'm watching Benny Hinn, and you know, there's this offering piece, and they say, you know, give you know, make a pledge, basically. Yeah. And I made a pledge. I had $400 that I used to save money, and I took my $400, which felt like a billion because it's all I had. Yeah. And I pledged, right?
Yeah.
And then within a week, WHP called my mom. And WHP was like, yo, man, this kid is crazy. But something's telling me I should take a chance on him.
Mm.
And he called me, and he was strict to say, man, you know, are you serious about this? Yeah. He's not going to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, man, just give me a chance. And I forgot all of this for 10 years. My mom reminded me last week to say, your big break came when you pledged.
That 400, right?
And then that's when WHP called you. I've been telling a whole story.
Sure.
But leaving the most important part
out. That seed.
Yeah, that seed, you know what I mean?
Sure.
That I planted. So that's what actually happened. That was my big break. I mean, from there, there's a lot of stories I can tell. Yeah. But that's where it all started, when I planted the seed.
What was your first gig payment? How much was it?
Oh, $700.
How old were you?
That's how I dropped out of school.
700, yeah, nah, you just
I was like, nah. If I can make 700 today, 700 tomorrow, 700, I'm like, nah. I remember calculating. I'm inside, 2,000. I'm like, you know, because the payment was 2,000, but it was the two of us, so I had 700. I was like, I can get this 2,000 myself. So I'm asking this dude, how much did he get paid? Mulimi, I think it was 4,000 at that time. Jabba got 10. I was like, no, man, these people, I'm out. I said, no, I'm out. I'm out of the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, $700 changed my life. And then I spent, I think I spent about my 8 years before I made money from that weekend.
No.
Yeah.
So during that 8 years, that 700
There was a time, there was a day, Joe. One of my bosses, this is the funniest thing. One of my bosses, like, makes me count money. There's a gig, like, you'll count that money, and we count. So it's like 4,090. Yeah. So I'm like, no, 4,000. There's three of us. Tau. He's like, okay, give me that 4,000. And I'm left with $90. Like, I share with the team. And it's like, yo, $30. Like,
do you remember him?
Yeah, I don't want to say his name.
I know, but like, I'm saying, you never forget.
Yeah, I do.
You
I
never
do.
Forget
he calls me
people...
now and then, you know? So we cool. But it's like, yo, that thing, yo.
You should give him back the
$90. And then we go and buy. Then we go buy airtime. And then 3 days later, we're like, yo, Khurtman, I'll give you $90. I'm like, that $90 was supposed to get us bread, airtime, yo. I said, no, it was hectic. So it was long, man. And before I started making money, it was really, really long. Like, WHP is really the turning point of my career. Life. Yeah.
If you could change anything, I know in that period, you probably wanted to fast forward everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you're probably imagining, if I can just get this big break.
Yeah.
But it took 8 years.
Yeah.
When you think about it now, if you could, would you have shortened that time, or do you think you needed it?
Perfect. So perfect.
Okay.
Like, the stuff that I learned in that 8 years, the patience, the humility, the knowledge, the context, the story.
The story.
You know what I mean? I've got such a beautiful story and testimony that I can share, from love life to business, music, like the artist I became and the development. You know what I mean? I can make any record. I can make any type of music that I want to make because of the 8 years. Because in that 8 years, you get bored. You mess around with Kwaito, you get bored. You mess around with hip hop, get bored. You know what I mean? You listen to jazz, you don't understand it. But the thing about the ear is that once it hears something, it trains something in your brain.
Sure.
So, like, I went through so many patterns of the type of styles that I wanted to mess with. And I would never change anything. The type of conversations I had with God, the type of things that I've learned, trained my brain, conversations, even when I speak to people, like, the type of things that I learned about conversation and communication in that period, I could never have, I could never replace. And that's why I was different. By the time I blew up, it was like, there's something about this
guy.
But it's because I studied this thing for so long before I got my break, you know what I mean?
I remember that December. I think it was 2013? Was it 2013, that December? No, 2014, because Brendan and I had just started dating. I'm like a solid, I was like a solid Christian girl. And all I listen to is gospel music. I still am. Yeah. I still am. But like now I listen to a bit of hip hop. Like this morning I was listening to Mos Def. And I was just like, okay.
She said, I listen to hip hop. She said, Mos Def.
It's like, Mos Def hip-hop?
She's like, that's the best I can give you. The most conscious.
No, but I'm like a Kanye fan, all of that stuff. Cool. Anyway, that time, I think it was December when you were like blowing up to the point where like you became a conversation. Yeah. And I remember getting so involved and we were all picking sides. Yeah. And I was just like, this caster guy. And you were like a whole conversation. Yeah. But that moment for you, did it feel, do you know this period that I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
You can identify with it,
definitely.
Right? During that period, did you feel like, yeah, you finally see me? Or was it just like, what is happening?
It was like, I hope this is not temporary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was good.
It was good, but I was like,
it's not a quick.
Nah, because remember, people don't recognize that me, aka NKO, changed the game.
You did. Kara.
Literally. But they recognize those songs, but they don't recognize that before us, the longevity of artists was 3 years.
Sure.
That's like, wild. There was always a conversation to say, what are you going to do after music? Every interview, I'm like, what do you mean after music? They're like, yeah, you know, in South Africa, it's 3 years. It's like the one album that, you know, people like you for, the second album that people hate you for, and then the third album is the fall off. It was Mikasa who had the same thing.
Yeah.
It was the Rhythmic Elements, same thing. Ziggs Bantwini, same thing. All the acts that were like super big, Zahara, all the acts that were like super big after two albums, Momuli, me, you know, everyone, they had a, there was a pattern.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, man, like,
this better last.
You know, is it going to be 3 albums for me as well? Is it 3 years? What's going to happen? So I was just praying and working to say, yo, man, while I have this chance, I need to go in and build. But I always used to tell people I'm going to be the first to make money in the industry. Because also, when we came in, I remember Euphonic asked me when I was 16 years old, because he got me on 5FM. Mm. They heard about me. And then I came to Joburg just for this interview. And he said to me, why hip hop?
Mm.
And I was like, what do you mean, why hip hop? He's like, you know, hip hop doesn't have money.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to show you hip hop has money. I'm going to drive a Range Rover. Imagine Range Rover was like the last number for me. It's like, yo, I'm going to drive a Range Rover with hip hop. I'm going to show you. That time I'm just talking wild. Like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. 16-year-old
boy.
So.
Sure.
Those are my thoughts at that time when this break is happening and I'm starting to make money and we're testing promoters. So we're going from 4,000 to 8,000. Then the next guy, we say, no, 12. And then the next guy, we're like, 18,000. And everyone is paying. And then,
just like,
we went up to like 200,000. Like, it's like, Imona, just, and it was like, Imona, they pay, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, yo, I hope this is not temporary. It was scary. As much as it was good, it was scary. And at the same time, it was tough because now I couldn't hang with my friends anymore.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be rich and famous so I could be cool when I hang out with my friends. But I used to be called for shows while I'm hanging out with my friends. Like, there's a show right now.
Yeah, and you have to jump. I love that you mentioned that you were testing out things with Tila, 2, 8, because I think it shows the beauty of the process. Because I think people can look at that moment and think, by that time he had a manager, he had his rate card, all of these things were said. And it's like, what you just broke down for me is that you were figuring it out.
We figured it out.
On the go.
We were freestyling. My manager quit his job to be my manager. I remember he was working at the campus. He's an IT specialist. So he was like, yo, I'm thinking of retiring and being a full-time manager. And I was like, yeah, obvious. In my mind, I'm like, this guy's crazy. I'm like, man, how are you going to quit? We actually were jowing because of your salary.
We need that salary.
We need that salary. But I'm like, yeah, obvious. Come on. He says, I'm serious. I mean, I'm serious. I dropped out of school. You're going to do this thing. In my mind, I'm like, this guy is crazy. Don't do that. He came with a diary even. I'm like, this guy is so serious. He came with a diary. He says, no, me and you, are you serious? You're doing this thing. He wrote, and Bro, we figured it out. We were just guessing, tricking people.
Yeah.
Like
figuring it out.
Figuring it out, bro. Yeah. Like denying other shows when we don't have money. We're like, nah, 25. That time we don't have.
Yeah.
So I wanna see if this guy's gonna call back. And they would call back. And then that's how we just grew, you know. That's why me, in my opinion, my manager is like the best manager of all time. But people don't ever talk about managers. But like,
I need your manager.
Everybody needs my manager.
We all need your manager.
But he's my manager.
It's your manager.
Well, I'm selfish with
him. You made him quit his job, so he better be your manager.
He is the greatest of all time. Like the way he played this game, you know, people give props to me. But the way that man played this game is just genius. You know, there's so many mistakes I made that he covered. So many I was arrested that people never talked about. You know, I was attacked. There was a time I made everybody in the game were mad at me. They stopped, like KO and his team pulled up. They wanted to beat me up. He's the one who came out and told them, yo, we're adults. That boy is a young boy. Think about it. We must figure it out as adults.
That is
that
messy.
Time I'm tying my shoes in the car to say, let's go. You know what I mean? And I don't know how he like made them calm down. He dissolved the situation. I've seen so many things. Like that dude, when I was going through SARS problems, you know, I've had
man,
so
many issues.
Oh
man, you've also been a SARS
victim. Yo, a serious one. They clapped me my 13 million. Like they clapped me serious. So now, I don't want to play games with SARS.
Yeah, don't play games with SARS. That's like the first thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I try, you know, to. Yeah. So, I mean, they know everything I own now, so I can't even run away.
Yeah.
But like, big shout out to T. Lee. He's a big part of this. And people don't really know how important it is to have a team.
Your surroundings matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, surroundings matter. What's the hardest thing you've ever had to face? Or the hardest moment?
Yo, to be honest, to be very honest, what led to me being saved was like the hardest period of my entire life. And this was maybe a few days, but it felt like, oh my God, what is happening? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I woke up one day and I looked in the mirror and I had questions I couldn't answer. You know, but these questions are questions I've always had, but I couldn't answer them. But it's like my answers were not good enough and I didn't understand what was going on, you know? And it was three simple questions like, who are you, where do you come from, and where are you going?
And you had no answer.
And I didn't have an answer. And I was like, because at first I was like, I mean, I'm my parents' child, so.
I'm Casper.
Yeah, but like the question was actually to my soul. It wasn't like to this temple, this body, this.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you questioning where my soul comes from? It's like, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I started questioning God. It's like, what is this? Like, where do I come from? And why don't I remember? Mm. Like, what's going on? Like, and like my whole life became a blur. Like, no, I didn't enjoy anything. I didn't care about anything. I remember, and I was going to Durban. I was performing there. And I remember thinking, okay, at least I'm going to see my son. So, you know, he'll make me feel better.
Yeah.
And I remember my son running towards me and I felt nothing. Nothing. And I was like, what is this? I don't have feelings towards my own son. If there's anybody I love, it's this guy.
This boy,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I called Booga Love and I was like, yo, man, I'm going through something, you know? Not, there's nothing bad happening, but I'm not okay. So started playing, you know, with the idea that I might be depressed. And I'm like, I don't have any serious financial problems. I mean, everybody has debt, but like, you know what I mean? I don't have serious... Like, no.
Materially, you're fine.
Yeah. So I ended up, and I'm performing, and everyone's going crazy. But in my mind, I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to die anyway. So it doesn't matter if you guys think I'm cool or not. You're all going to die too. So it's like so wild.
It's very dark.
Bro.
But I get you.
What's going on with me?
Yeah.
And I would have, and I would struggle to sleep. I would sleep for an hour or two. And jumped back up. And I struggled to go back to sleep. And then I went to a hospital. When I came back, they diagnosed me with depression. And I'm like, all right, okay, cool. So they gave me a pill, made me feel better for a few hours. Next thing, I'm back up again. I'm like, what's going on, man? And then, but I'm like, man, that's not the answer. Then I went to therapy. Yeah.
Sure. This is last year.
Yeah, this is last year, like towards the end of last year, maybe from July, August. And I went to therapy and I'm like, okay, cool, therapy's gonna make me feel better, right? And it's like, yeah, it made me feel a bit better. But then like when I'm alone, you know. Yeah,
there's a void.
Yeah, there's this, you know, and I'm like, man, something's wrong. And then I take these pills, I feel better and I can physically feel myself getting better. But then I can also physically feel myself getting worse when it comes out.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not the answer.
Yeah.
It's something. So I went to church and I was like, you know what? This is how I'm feeling. Blah, blah, blah. And the answer I got was very, very boring, man. And bland. But it's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
But it's what I needed to hear. Because I went there and I was like, yo, man, what is life?
Yeah.
What is life, actually? What is... Because, I mean, now I'm successful. I've done this thing. And it's like,
what? Everything you could have imagined.
You know what I mean? People are like, utlokile ntwana, but kitlokile ini. You know what I mean? What is it that I figured out? Because I'm going to die. So what did I figure out that no one else did? Everyone... We're all gonna die.
Yeah.
So what is this thing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this guy says, so I'm like, what's the purpose?
Yeah.
And this guy says, he pulls up a scripture in the Bible, I think it's somewhere in Genesis, and he says, yo, we're actually created to worship God.
Yeah.
Like that's our soul.
That's the purpose.
He's like, I'm not going to sugarcoat. I'm not going to give you. He's like, bro, I'm sorry to do this, but we were created to worship God.
Hmm.
And then someone says, yo, you know, God is going to use us and then he's going to bless us. And that guy's like, yeah, that's all amazing. And I'm not saying that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
you're making it more about material. You're making it this relationship where we go to God for something.
Yeah, it's like a transaction.
You know what I mean? It's like, you're such a good child. I'm going to give you $1 billion. Like, nah, dog. That $1 billion does not matter. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about your soul.
Your soul.
That you cannot buy. You cannot essence. Do this again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it hit me. And I'm like, this is what's missing. This is what I've been playing with. I've been playing with my life. And the devil had me. He had me so deep that I did not think about this at all. Mm. Everything that I did was validated and I could negotiate why I was doing it.
Mm.
I was addicted to sex.
Mm.
I was addicted to sexual immorality in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a big ego. Mm. I thought I was better than everyone else.
Mm.
But I was humble in the sense that I wouldn't offend anyone. So
yeah.
I'm a good person. Yeah. So anything that I do is fine because I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I was like, man, like I was headed straight for hell if I didn't have that wake up. So I had an encounter with God. He put me in a place where only he could save me.
Yeah. I want you to emphasize the importance of your salvation, because you've always been a praying person.
Exactly.
You've always been Christian.
Exactly.
You've always been praying person. I'm sure you went to church every now and then.
Exactly.
But you say you were going straight to hell.
Hell. Because I grew up in a Christian home, so I thought I knew God, because my mom knows God, because my grandfather is a prophet.
So you think
prophet.
That's your ticket?
Because it's like, it's like, I got ladies, I'm on Donald's. You know, and Donald's grandson. Yes,
please,
I'm going to. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's like, nah. Everyone has to figure out their own salvation.
Yeah.
Everybody's on their own.
Yeah.
So I had to know God for myself. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm learning. I'm in the beginning. But I had to have that encounter where God is like, do you know me?
Hmm.
Do you know me?
Yeah.
And yeah. how much do you know me? Because you see me as this guy who blesses you.
Mm.
And I do bless you.
Mm.
And I'm going to carry on blessing you. Mm. But that is not my purpose.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's not your purpose.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's All more. Of these things is great in perspective.
Sure.
You know? So I had a reset. I had an encounter with God, which was very hard because I had to die.
Yeah, die to self. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I died. I didn't even remember my life before. It was like I always think about like things like the dome and stuff for me. It's like, oh, what kind of it happened?
Sure.
It's, I died.
Yeah.
And I surrendered. I went to an altar call. And I've done this 7 times, by the way. I went to the altar call. But this time, I understood what I was doing. I was giving my life to God. And I was giving my soul to God. I was writing my name in the heavenly book
of life.
To say, when I leave this place, remember me. Yeah. You understand? And then it was such a hard reset because I genuinely didn't care about anything. You know when you give your life to God, you want to go to heaven the next day. It's like, I am God, I'm going to heaven, so why do I have to be here? I mean, fighting with these people, they are lost, this one, you understand?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's all great, these cars, come on, like, yeah. come on, I just want to go to heaven,
be with you.
Like, I want to be with you, you my guy, come on, yeah. you know what I mean? And he's like, nah, chill.
Relax.
I need you there.
Sure.
I want to do a thing with you,
mm.
you know what I mean?
Mm.
I needed you to go see all of that. I gave you an opportunity to go. So that when you say there's nothing there, you know there's nothing there.
What was your definition of success in your 20s? Mm-hmm. And what's your definition of success after that altar call?
Yo, my definition of success was like being a billionaire and like going on these trips with all these models and being able to like ball out on my family when I want to.
Yeah.
Kind of like controlling women with money. So sure. my whole idea was like, I want to be so successful that my wife has to rely on me so much that she can't do anything without me.
Sure.
And she has to listen to me because I'm the one with the money. Like
yeah.
there's this concept that I had that money sure. makes everything better.
Wow.
So even like relationships. Now I'm like, yo, my version of success is humility and obeying God. If I can just obey God every day, I'm successful.
Ooh, I love that.
And that only comes by the grace of God. We are not able to.
No.
There's no way we can obey God.
No.
In our own
strength. Yeah.
You know, in our own strength. It's,
yeah.
It's by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's intervention that we're able to stay away from the things that we want to do.
There's a video that you did that went viral
yeah.
where you talk about not every encounter is meant to be
a sexual
one.
Yeah.
Did you feel naked putting it out? Because I think when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, this guy's literally saying, I have a sex problem.
Yeah.
And I can see where the sex problem has landed me. And I'm just here to tell you before you burn, like I did.
Yeah.
That's how I interpreted the video.
Yeah.
Before you burn, like I did, that it's not worth it.
Yeah. You know what, though? I was not even saved there.
Yeah.
So God was doing a thing in
already.
Me already.
Had you made the lifestyle change?
Yeah, it was happening.
Okay.
But I didn't even realize. I didn't want to be with different type of women
all the time. Yeah,
you know what I mean? I wanted something genuine. I was going towards having a relationship with someone and being committed to that person and not embarrassing them. But at the back of my mind, I would still cheat with Kim Kardashian. In my mind, I was like, yo, but if I met Kim, I would
fine.
Do it. Do you know what I mean? Because I mean, it's
Kim,
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm starting to have good relationships with women at that point and realizing that I don't have to want. That's why I'm saying not every.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. But I'm still leaving out the space of some of them you can smash, but not all of them. You understand?
Okay, so you saw this.
Yeah. So, but it's happening in the background. You know what I mean? Because I'm talking about one woman.
Yeah.
I met this girl.
Yeah.
I wanted to smash. I didn't smash. Later on, these things are happening
yeah.
in my mind, and she's the person that helps me figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, imagine if I slept with her, I wouldn't be speaking to her. You know what I mean? And sure. I'm getting revelations, but God is showing me that you have destroyed yourself with sex. Oof. That's what he was showing me. You know, you've destroyed yourself. Mm. You're having difficulties with women because you see one thing. And this starts, for men, it starts at a very young age.
Yeah.
But we don't realize that we're addicted to sex.
Yeah.
We're addicted. It's as bad, if not worse, than cocaine.
Worse, because it's the one sin that you, I think the Bible speaks about, that where you actually sinning against your own body.
Exactly. It's in Romans where he says, and then I gave him up to their own desires.
Mm. Mm.
That's the sin where God leaves us. So you want to do this?
Go.
Go and do it.
You'll come back.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why I didn't feel any shame when I was doing it. He left me.
Sure. Ooh.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong in my mind. You are supposed to have that voice that says, no, don't do this.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in you that guides you. It's that feeling.
Exactly.
And the more you ignore it, the more he's not harsh. Exactly. He doesn't control you.
Exactly.
He allows you your own will.
Exactly. Whatever you practice grows and it'll master you.
Until you don't see anything wrong with it.
It was my master. Sex was my master. It used to tell me what to do, where to go. My days were this short. Because sex was telling me, go there, go there, go there, go there. Go. And I was enjoying. I had the time of my life.
You're going to put it out there.
I was going off. I was like, yo, there's things that I would never tell anybody.
Oh.
And I read this book that helped me. They said, tell one person. And I took one of my friends. I was like, yo, I'm about to shock you. But you need to sit down. I need to lay down. And he was like, please. What? I'm like, yeah, I did it.
That's not
but
the point.
Like, that's not the point. I trust you, and I know you wouldn't tell anybody.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't even tell my best friend.
Oh,
it's
man.
So hectic. I used to live a life so hectic, and I thought it was fine because it was in secret.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to wake up 3 a.m., go to people's homes, do my thing, go home. Every time when people wake up in my home, they think I was there the whole night.
Mm.
I spend the night somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was wild.
That's exhausting. No wonder you were tired.
Yeah. It was tough.
Never mind the physical act of it, but just the emotional act of having to pretend you're something you're not.
Exactly. I mean, I know people knew that I was a busy guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you're a celebrity. It's almost like it's normal. You're Casper. You're in hip hop.
Yeah.
You're...
He's a rapper.
Yeah,
he's not married.
Yeah.
And like, bro, I created a mess. Like, I created a serious mess. I hate my baby mama so much. We broke up. I've been single for 2 years, by the way. But, you know, we broke up because I hurt her. And then I just carried on living this life. And then, you know, and she got saved, which is so beautiful. But then it became more hectic because now she's looking at me like, God, this is the father of my child.
Mm.
It's wilding out. She saved. I was messing up. Bro, literally, like, I did not have a female friend that I would just keep as, like,
a friend.
Oh, even in my mind, even if nothing happened.
Yeah.
But in
your
my mind,
mind
it's one
gone.
Mistake.
It's done.
You understand? I was bad.
Yeah.
I was really bad. And I didn't even realize how wrong it was. And like what you're saying, that it is... exhausting.
Yeah.
And my soul was depleted.
Yeah. So it's finished. You've given it to everyone
exactly.
else.
Exactly. Those pieces. And now I'm learning so much. I'm trying to help my friends. And they're like, hey, man,
yes,
that's hectic. No, it's like, it's dark. I'm like, man, do you know that every time you sleep with a different woman, they leave with a piece of you.
Yeah.
A piece of your soul.
Yeah.
So now imagine, maybe we've slept with 100 women.
Yeah.
There's 100 pieces of you.
Everywhere.
In the world, right?
Oof.
Not everyone is a Christian.
Mm.
Some people are going to the Ndombeni level.
Mm.
They're going with your
people
soul.
People are doing their different things.
To the Nyangas Ndombeni and the Ndombeni. Ndombeni label. You know what I mean? I don't want to offend anybody. They're going there.
Yeah.
Some people are buying snakes.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that people practice. They exist.
Yeah, they do. They're real. You know
what I mean? We think that there's only one power. There's a superior power.
Yeah.
Which is God.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus. I'm not ashamed of saying it. But
there's other powers. Yeah, we fight against principalities.
Right here.
Yeah.
And they work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those people are going there with you. I say to my friends, like, don't you remember a day where you woke up and you don't know why you were not fine?
Mm.
But nothing's wrong.
Mm.
But you're not okay. And then your mood, and then someone that you slept with is going through those things, and they're going through them with you.
Soul ties.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I had to pray.
But you know, it's hard because when we have the soul tie conversation, mm-hmm. people get defensive and say, yeah, but why aren't soul ties ever, like, why can't I get wealth from soul ties? Why does it always have to be a negative thing? And it's such a hard conversation because it's like...
Because not everyone that you slept with is doing well.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
People always want to take the good news from the Bible.
Yeah.
But they don't want to take the other stuff. That's why we can always quote the good part.
Yeah.
You understand?
But not the disciplines.
You understand?
Yeah, not the correction.
There's a part in Deuteronomy that speaks about how blessed you'll be.
Yeah.
But at the end, it talks about if you do not obey.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not the part we speak about. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, that's what I had to learn, to say, yes, you have God's grace, but your lifestyle choices can get you in a very dark place, this side and that side. Hmm. It's not only the hell part, it's this side too.
Yeah, you're already in hell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, man, like, I am so grateful that God, I had an encounter with God. He saved my soul. And I'm so excited for the life I live now and the life that is ahead of me. You know what I mean?
Like,
my days are longer.
Yeah.
I'm more productive.
Yeah.
Things happier. Can miss me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right, cool. It can miss me.
How are you going to talk to your son about...
my relationship with his mom?
No, about being a pure man. I'm not a boy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happens to a boy's body at the age of 12, 13.
Yeah.
How does that conversation look like for you now?
You know, for me, I understand that because we are living in a body.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I say to him.
Yeah.
But God can do it, not me.
Okay.
So the relationship between me and my son is what I have to concentrate on, that he can always come and ask me questions and be honest with me. And when he's in trouble, he can call me.
Mm-hmm.
But the change will be from God because he has to figure it out himself. So even if I tell him what I went through, he's going to think you enjoyed your time.
So, and then,
so now me, I must enjoy.
Yeah.
You understand? But that's not it. Not everybody will be lucky enough to wake up before it's too late.
Sure.
That's the sad part. Sometimes I get so aggro with my friends and agile, and I'm just like, yo, man, like, I wish you could listen to me today because you might not have tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So you feel lucky.
I am so lucky because let me tell you, I felt nothing wrong.
Mm. And especially because materially, you're fine.
So you think that you're in
you
the
debtor. Think, you think you don't have to fix something.
Exactly. I didn't think that I was wrong because things were going well.
Yeah, and you pray.
I've always known I'm anointed.
Yeah, and you are Tandaza.
You understand? And I'm God's favorite. Of course. Come on, come my life. Even though I'm doing like it is, like it is. But it's still, like, you understand?
It's come together.
And then he's like, enough. It's enough now.
Yeah.
You have to. We carry an identity. If you say you're Christian, I always explain to my friends, it's like saying you're a Motsepe.
Mm.
Motsepe's child can't go out doing wild stuff because they're going to write Petrus Motsepe's son.
Ooh,
You understand?
Yeah.
They're not going to say...
Jacob.
Yeah, no. So when you say you're Christian, you're carrying an identity.
Mm.
That is why people say, I don't go to church because certain priests...
Yeah.
They're carrying an identity.
Yeah.
We are responsible for this identity. You know what I mean? Salvation is a free gift, but you gotta be responsible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you say you're Christian, you have to live a Christian life. Not have to because something else is gonna happen.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, how much do we respect and appreciate God for what he's done for
yeah.
us, died for us?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's only a personal encounter can give you that. Because I think we've all grown up in church where we're told, do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. And then you do.
Exactly.
And then you have an encounter. And then you realize, oh, okay. I wouldn't do this because I respect my body so much because it's the temple of mm-hmm. God and he loves me so much and mm-hmm. there's so much good. So it no longer becomes about the rules, but it becomes about this person who loves you so much. Like you think, I always think of, I look at my children and that for me is the closest like metaphor for how much God loves me. Like I look at them and I see my love for them, that there's absolutely nothing they can do to make me not love them.
Yeah.
Yes, I will get disappointed, but my love is so deep. And then I think,
right.
God feels like that times 10 about me. So I want to please this guy.
Exactly. And you know what they say? They say there is no, it says the rules are useless without a relationship.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So these things we are told, do not, do not, do not, do not. Yeah. Because we don't have a relationship with God.
It doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. So me, by the grace of God, having a personal
relationship
where I talk to this guy the whole day.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's easier for me
to
sin less because we all sin.
And you've got Holy Spirit in you. Oh,
exactly.
Like, sure you know that feeling. Sometimes we ignore it, but you ignore it knowing.
It's hard to, that's why we learn about like discerning spirits.
Yeah.
Like now you have to learn, say, this looks like, but it's not.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm. Because that's how the devil works.
Mm.
It's the same process.
Yeah.
It's voices. It's same words, but just a little twist in J. You know what I mean? And you find yourself in a dark place. So having a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, changed my whole perspective of life.
Yeah.
My obedience is a gift.
Mm.
It's no longer a burden.
A burden. It's a gift.
It's a gift that
honor.
I can only obey him through his grace. He's the one who helps me obey him. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Clearly I can't. Clearly.
Yeah.
I like this thing. You understand?
Yeah.
And now it's like a process to say, oh, okay, that was my flesh.
Yeah.
That was, and it's natural.
Yeah.
It's that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's always gonna go in that direction because that's what it knows.
Yeah.
It's from this world. But what keeps me alive is my spirit, which is going to leave my body at one point.
Yeah.
And that is the voice that keeps saying, no.
Mm, not yet, not now.
Don't do this. You know this is wrong. And then it gets to a point where it's like, it doesn't say anything anymore, but it's like, then it's like, you see when it gets there, now you're in trouble. When it says, okay, do your thing.
Do your thing.
That's where I was.
Like, just do your thing. It was
like, and it was this, you know, one of my friends said, what if you did not listen to God that day?
Hmm.
What is going to happen the next week? Don't think about the next year.
Just
the next week. Because if God had to go fetch me himself, himself, to say, now.
Yeah.
What if? And I'm so, that's what I'm saying, I'm so grateful because I could have called the wrong friend who could have said, ah, let's just go out.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're stressed, bro.
You know
just
I mean?
Have
ah,
a,
come
yeah.
on, chill.
Yeah.
The grand,
yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I called the right person, God's intervention. I called Buga Love. He said, relax. Don't do anything. Come see me when you're back.
Sure.
And we'll talk. That's what he said. I said, okay, cool. Let me calm down. Called me the next day. How are you feeling? It's like, okay, check this out. Read this. Slowly, you know?
Mm.
It built up until this intervention and then getting saved. Then now I look at it, it's like, yo.
What a journey.
So that was the hardest part of my life. Remember, this comes from the question.
Yeah.
The hardest part of my life was this, you know.
Not being able to answer three questions.
Three.
Yeah.
That I've understood for my whole life. But now, because they were sent to a different part of my my weakest part at the time. Because remember, we gym, we try and eat healthy, we read books, And we're feeding something that is growing. So you become more intelligent, healthier or stronger, you know, more knowledgeable. But your spirit, you don't feed. It's malnutrition, right?
Mm.
So the devil attacked the weakest part of me, knowing that this guy is weak.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask his soul, who are you? Where do you come from? And where are you going? Now I can tell the devil that I am God's child.
Yeah.
That's my identity. I'm a Christian. Mm. I was born and I come from the heavenly realms. I was born into a body, but my soul was paid for with blood.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. I'm owned. I don't even own myself.
Sure.
I belong. You understand?
Yeah.
I know and understand my identity now. So now I can live the rest of my life with grace, with gratitude.
Mm.
Obedience, a teachable spirit, because I will make mistakes, and I'll be able to go back and apologize to those who are hurt or whatever, and repent. And you know, my days are longer. My life is more
fruitful.
I love that
you keep mentioning that my days are longer, because I think we take for, and it's the word that speaks about that he will satisfy you with long life. And I think we think of it as living more, to 100. No, it's just your day feels satisfied. Like I can see the contentment. Mm. It's not a day of perfection, but it's each day has meaning. Each day has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What's the greatest lesson your son has taught you?
Patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, patience and accountability.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because an accountability part is weird, because I play with him and I get tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired because I'm not training. I'm not eating well. So I'm like, okay. Now I'm not enjoying my time with my son. I'm supposed to be fit and healthy so I can play and run around with him.
But I can't.
So I can't, because I've been living this crazy life, right? Now I also have to be patient with him, because sometimes I don't hear what he's saying. So I have to keep asking him over and over until I figure it out. And his mom will just say, I just want Spider-Man. And I'm like, man.
Why don't you know that?
You know, so yeah, patience and accountability, but also just gratitude, man. I love that guy, and I know that, you know, everything that I do, my decisions are going to affect him.
Yeah.
So I have the responsibility of being an upright Christian father, man, and husband to someone someday, you know.
Yeah.
I need to be able to explain to my son, say, you know, me and your mom didn't work out, but that don't mean that love don't exist.
Yeah.
That don't mean that you can't find someone, you know, look at me now, I'm with someone, and, you know, I need to be faithful to that person and not repeat what I did, so I can at least be a good example to my son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To say we make mistakes, but we can fix them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Was fatherhood scary to you? I know a lot of men go into a bit of a frenzy shock when they become fathers for the first time. I don't know if it comes with the responsibility of
It wasn't scary for me, because it was planned.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. It wasn't a one night stand. It wasn't that.
It was just like, this is the gift.
I have something to tell you. What? What's happening?
Yeah.
I missed my period. You did what?
Yeah.
You did what?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that.
Okay.
It was like, I think I'm ready to have a child. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but also, which brings me to like, obeying God, because he said sex before marriage is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this complex situation where, you know, we have to raise a child in two different homes.
Yeah.
You know, and now I see the effects of it, because as much as we're both saved now, we have at least a way to communicate and a God to answer to, but we're human beings.
Mm.
So we fight.
Yeah. It's complex.
Lot, you know what I mean? So it's like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Now we're creating broken homes, not only about the pleasure. And there's so many dynamics to like, God's laws.
I think we think God is trying to punish us, but it's not punishing us. He's just simply saying, I see further than you can possibly see.
Exactly.
What's the season of your life called?
The season of this life. Oh,
season of your life called redemption.
I don't know why that word came to me. What does it mean?
In my understanding, you have been redeemed. You have been brought back.
To life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been brought back.
Jesus Christ died at 33.
Yeah.
My old self died at 33.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Crazy.
It happened on this year. And then I learned about Jesus, and I'm still learning. It's the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful experience, the most important decision of my life.
Please don't stop sharing it.
I'm never, ever going to stop. And I had to come share it here first.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful podcast. I love you and Brandon.
Thank you.
And you guys are so inspiring. And I love you more now because I'm saved. Yeah. So I see it clearer.
Yeah.
I admire what you have. And I want to get married also one day soon.
Yeah.
Soon. Because also I'm not having sex now. So I know that.
Oh, you're abstaining.
Yeah. Ever since I got saved.
Are you celibate?
Yeah. And I'm not celibate, but okay. I'm not having sex.
What does that mean?
I mean, like I'm seeing someone.
Okay. But you're just not having sex. Okay.
Yeah, celibate means that you're not seeing anybody.
No. Does it?
Yeah.
Unless I got it wrong. No. Celibate means you're not having sex. So you are celibate.
It's just sex.
Just sex, yeah.
Oh, I. Then so I you have just, something to.
So you just jola. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Love you.
Ah, the kiss is there. Oh, come on. What do you
That's
mean?
Fine.
Yeah. But
fine.
Yeah, I don't. So, and I never thought I would see a day where I'd be saved.
Sure.
And saved from my addiction and cured from my addiction of sex.
Is it a work in progress? Is it a daily decision?
It was like that.
Okay.
The sex part of it?
Yeah.
But
what I mean by that is that every day you have to wake up and make a decision that this is who I am now.
You know why? I don't, because that's what I'm saying. It's God's grace and the Holy Spirit's intervention. I do not struggle with wanting to do the act.
Okay.
But
I understand your personality.
Yeah.
Your personality, you're an extremist. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. And you go for it. There's people who have personalities where they have to ease. But you're the type of guy who says, I'm going to do it, and then you do it.
But the thing is, if I love something, I'm going to do it either, regardless. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not the guy who's going to quit sex.
Yeah.
I know that I was able to quit having sex because of the Holy Spirit and God's grace. That's the only reason. Okay. Because I still want to do it.
Yeah.
I think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time together and I have those thoughts. The other thing, I have the thoughts of my old life because it's stuck in your memory.
Yeah.
But there's a voice that says.
Yeah, you have to continue to renew your mind.
I don't even fight it. It's not even like, can't do this anymore.
Okay, I surrender.
So, yeah, man, that's what I'd like to close with, just to say to people, I hope I'm an inspiration to someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not because of me.
Yeah.
But because, you know, just to, if someone is out there, you know, having questions about God, about Jesus, he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done something very small to me, mm-hmm. but it's very big to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and imagine what he could do to your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to be in this place. People should, you know, be a bit graceful with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I am going to make mistakes.
100%.
But, you know, all I'm trying to do right now is see God's face and his favor and live the rest of my life the way I'm supposed to.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you one last thing. I have got this wall of wisdom, but it's fine. What's a quote or a verse that you live by that you say to yourself every single day?
There's a lot. Every day. You know what? To be honest, the most helpful word of my day today is God saying, do not fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gives me rest.
Yeah.
You know, because it's something I actually got a quote of. It says, the Bible says, do not fear 365 days.
Yeah,
and then yesterday I realized that it's actually a lie.
Oh, that's
I'm
sucks.
Sorry. I'm
oh,
so
I was
sorry.
So excited.
You know what I mean? And I'm
so
like,
excited.
Come on. I hated that
man.
I read that. I've told so many people about it. And it's like, it's not 365 days, but I mean, 365 times. But the importance of God saying, do not be afraid, is there because it does get overwhelming.
It does.
It does get scary.
Yeah.
And when you're naked and you're starting this walk,
mm-hmm.
it gets even scarier because you understand how big the price is.
Yeah,
and how big the gamble is.
Yeah.
And it's eternity.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to be afraid. So I hold on to that a lot, and it helps me.
Yeah.
You know, not to be afraid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I made the right choice. And yeah, that's what I live by every day. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. You know, and there's this series, just in closing, it's called The Chosen.
Oh, Brendan's told me about it so many times.
You haven't watched it?
No. I don't like watching stuff, but I'm gonna watch it for you.
No, it'll blow. You're gonna fight with him because that's all you're gonna watch.
Okay.
And
watch it.
Being a Christian, where you are, especially now that you have knowledge, you know, like seeing God in human form.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
Helped me so much. The reason why I'm talking about this is because I'm talking about Do Not Fear. There's a part in this series where Jesus goes, you know, he would go away to pray in the in the forest and come back. And he had this revelation that he had to die for us, right?
Yeah.
And seeing
watching
God,
it, actually. Yeah.
In human form, made me realize that because he was in human form, he felt what we felt.
Everything, he felt it.
You understand? Yeah. So the fear that we feel,
he knows it,
of hell and making mistakes and the condemnation, he felt it.
Yeah.
So he knows it, but he was still able to obey and go and die on the cross.
Sure.
We don't have to die physically on the cross.
But we have to
You know, die in the flesh.
Submit the flesh.
And obey. So even though we're not supposed to be afraid, we're going to feel the fear. So it helped me. So that's why I'm speaking about do not be afraid.
Okay.
I feel the fear.
Yeah.
It comes, it visits. But I have a reminder to say that I serve a living God and his promises are eternal.
Thank you so much for trusting me with this. This was so nice.
Right?
Like at some point you're just like, bro, I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the guys now.
I trust you. I trust you. I think I came to the perfect platform.
Yeah.
Thank you for blessing me.
Thank you.
With the opportunity to share a little bit of my story. I will be sharing more.
Yeah.
I thought Instagram reels were not enough time. So that's why I wanted to be here, which looks like an Instagram reel.
Does it?
Yeah, it's like mad pretty. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a wrap. Thank you so much, Wisdom and Wellness family. Girl Pal, excitement is building as we gear up for our annual Unlimited Fest. If you missed out last year, don't make the same mistake again. So join us for two unforgettable days packed with inspiring speakers, incredible musicians, DJs, food, and a time and a half. This year is all about healing. Secure your spot now at www.unlimitedfest.co.za. Don't miss the experience of a lifetime. Unlimited Fest, where we heal, celebrate, and grow. See you there.